Blog Talk Radio.
The stars are aligning. Shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain.
Somebody got the button pushed. I don't know if you got a guest coming in today.
No, I don't.
Yeah, somebody got the. I didn't know. It's up to you. That's your call, Brother Water.
Yeah, well, later on down, you, if they still there, you can push the button.
Okay.
I want to get into this lesson, but what I'm finna do, Brother Drew, we finna do a documentary on the making of an African American. And how we study, you know how we study, we have to ask who the first African American was. But it originally started off with who was the first African American, because if I asked that question, then nobody, I ain't found nobody that answered the question. Shonda said she found someone, but I ain't found nobody yet that answered the question. And here in 2018, you got people with doctor's degrees, with summa cum laude, say they're African American. The average prim and proper Negro, that's your congressman, that's your senators and your preachers, they prefer to themselves as African Americans, and don't know who the first one was. See, my daddy told me, Brother Drew, the biggest goddamn fool that ever walked on the face of the earth is a person that you call yourself something and you don't know where it comes from. You just taking on a name that you heard somebody say. You ain't did no research for how did you become that. And in 2018, a race of people, a nation of people, somebody that looked like me and you, we got white folks that renamed us 100 damn different times. So you had to understand the renaming of a generation of people. Now, when we was renamed, when you was renamed African-American, that wasn't no white man that renamed you that. That was a black man that still lived that renamed you that. And we ain't going to get into his name because this lesson is way deep, Brother Drew, because this lesson we're going to start the making of the African-American. And you know how I like to start. I like to start at the beginning. Can you see the beginning of this fool? And there's a book called the King James Revised Bible that came out in 1881, which was the Tyndale Bible, wrote from left to right in the ancient language of the serpent people, who is the Martians. That's the language that we're speaking and communicating in right now. So we had to go back into a lot of ancient books and ancient language, and we used etymology, but we have to be able to break it down in this language, because this language here had took somebody that looked like me and you and completely genocized them up under the three ruffians. And you, when we trace the history, we see the three ruffians coming in. Everything going to be in a chronological order, Brother Drew. So we're going to start at the beginning of African-American. We're going to start it with the King James Revised Bible, because it ain't nothing but a history book. And when it came out in 1881, the Jews that put it out knew that whatever they put in this book in 2018, we could look at it and it would be true. You could see it coming into existence. If you read in this 1881 Bible, it clearly tells you that all the scriptures and all the history in that Bible was complete at the book of Daniel. That's very clear. They say this book is completed at the book of Daniel, and another book will be wrote on the other side, on the other shore. Well, the other side and the other shore is the Western Hemisphere. And this book, it took damn near 4,000 years, Brother Drew, for me and you to see this. That's how many generations of people would go, this book would go through before you'd be able to see it. But then it would come a time period where it would be no mysteries, according to this, it would be no mysteries of God. 5% of the people, you say only a few, would come out and understand this because of how you've been genocided. It tells you how you've been genocided and everything, this book too, this King James Bible. The book tells you a story, so we're gonna tell the story. This book tells you about a story of a people that the Gentile, which was Magog and Gog, which his name goes Saxon, he changed his name May the 1st, 1776, to American, had did a group of people that had came over here 1,555 years ago when these people came over here on a slave ship named Jesus of Luxor and John the Baptist. But the story is even deeper than that, Brother Drew, because I had started the story at 1555. of when they come over. But the story is deeper than that, because the story, because of the story being in the Bible, the story begins at the 15th chapter of Genesis. And you read in the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham went to sleep, Brother Drew. And it said that he had a horrible dream. In other words, he had a nightmare. That's what a horrible dream is, a nightmare, because you can read it. It's right there in the 15th. This man had a horrible dream that him and Sarah had some children, and that one of his sons' children would enslave these people, and they wouldn't know nothing about where they come from. They would be totally ignorant, because they would be saying that they was, in modern day time now, they'd be saying that they was black Gentiles. And they would be worshiping strange gods of the people. And they would have forgotten everything about them, including their language. These people would have taken away all the memory for 400 years. After 400 years, they say, it reads clearly that this would happen. It was 400 years when these people would be captured and brought over here to the other show. It would take 400 years to completely genocide these people in their belief. So the story starts off as a nightmare. Well, goddamn it, ain't the nightmare now, Brother Drew? And then you had a dream prophet, which is Bible tell you about the dream prophet. It tell you that anybody that's coming to you saying, "I have a dream, I have a dream," do not believe them. It's in there twice. Don't believe nobody that come to you saying that, "I got a dream, I have a dream." Well, we know who the dream prophet was. That was Martin Luther King. He came to you at a certain period of time talking about he had a dream. But the Bible is very clear that if a dreamer come to you, don't believe what the dreamer says until it happened. Well, me and you can see, we was here when the dream boy came. So me and you can see that his dream is a goddamn nightmare now. It's worse than a nightmare. It's a tragedy. So we're looking for these people in the book. Now, 10th chapter of Genesis. Now, 10 chapters later, you read at the 25th chapter of Genesis. Here's where his dreams came true. That he didn't know nothing about this dream. This was a dream. He woke up. You read that what it says in the 15th chapter. He scared the shit out of him. He couldn't see it because him and Sarah didn't have no children. He didn't have no children at that time. But in the 25th chapter of Genesis, you'll see where Abraham took a wife named Keturah, was a Cushite woman, and they had children. You can see where their fourth son, who is Midian, he had a son named Ophrah, which is Africa. Translated in this, that's when I say you have to watch these people renaming you. See, they rename you Africa. That's land of Ham. It started off as the land of Ham and Amalekia. See, that's where we have to go in a chronological order for us to get a good damn understanding of what, because renaming. And the word re means something has been changed from the normal. When something is re, you just look up the definition of re, it's glad to tell you. See, that's where we go with etymology when we study. We be hitting this shit right dead on the head, Brother Drew. We ain't going to miss shit. Contura, in the ancient tongue, contura means sweet smelling. So she must have been sweet smelling to old Abe at that time for Brother Drew. Now, we see that in 5. Now, this is very amazing, Brother Drew. From Genesis, the 15th chapter of Genesis, it took 1,555 years for us to see this generation of people, this nightmare, get its start with the children of Keturah, of them bringing 175 Mennonites over here to America.
Uh-huh.
It took 100 before this started coming to existence. In 1555, John Hawkins, a Presbyterian minister, and John Hawkins, when he was a minister, Hopkins, when he was a slave, bought 175 of these Cushite, Abraham's children, over here on a slave ship called Jesus of Luxor and John the Baptist. Now, that hull is in the Library of Congress, that ship that they brought the first coons over here, as they nickname you coons and other choice names. But Abraham's children came over then. Now, when they came over here, they came over here to what was known at that time as the colony in continental. The colony was up under Continental Congress. The government was called the Continental Congress when they brought them over here. Continental Congress declared that in 1619, and Brother Drew, the numbering system is just staggering on this stuff. I told Cole, when I went over this with Cole, I said, Cole, man, shit, the numbers, Brother Drew, we're going to talk about that too, because you know the numbering. It's just crazy how the numbering system is, because from 1555 to 1619, which is 64 years, Brother Drew, 64 is 10. They say there was no more Africans over here. They were colored people. Now, they done renamed us now. They done renamed some people that come over here. These children of Keturah, the Mennonites, they done renamed them now to colored people. The reason they said that they were colored people is because they had completely genocide them after 64 years, where it was no more purebred over here. Everybody was a half-breed, meaning everybody was Germanic. And let's stop there now, Brother Drew, because this is cold-blooded, but the truth is just the truth. Everybody you see right now belongs to really the Germanic race of people, because you have breed, because you mix. They have mixed their seed with you. You didn't mix with them. They mixed with you through conquering you. So everybody you see is Germanic. That's the reason it's so hard for the people to come out of their school of thoughts and their religion, especially religion. See, their religion is Christianity, and every black person, every colored person that you see, it look like me and you, he'll tell you quick that he's a black Gentile, meaning he'll put an adjective on his name. He become a black Gentile, but before he was a black one, he was a white one, because that comes from the Japheth's children, which we're talking about. Now, from this 1619, it was colored people over here, meaning that this African had mixed their seed, bred it completely out with the Creek Nation, the Olmec, and the Algonquin. They bred the Algonquin completely out, Brother Drew, where it ain't no more Algonquins. They made a move, the last of the Mohawks. So there ain't no more Algonquins, but it's plenty Creek and Olmec, which the Creek Nation got named Negroes. Now, you look up that word Negro in the dictionary and tell you Negro didn't come from Ham, meaning the Negro didn't come from the Southern Hemisphere, like some people want to say. All life began in Africa. Everybody look like me and you come from out. That's a goddamn lie. See, you had to know what the white people done renamed your ass. He told said that we was Negroes. This was the 72 uncivilized tribes that he called us uncivilized. He said that it was 5 tribes out of the 72 uncivilized tribes that he found over here that was civilized. And those 5 tribes was the ones that he enslaved. See, the first slave of the colony was the people they were calling Indians. But that was the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Seminole, the Naztag, and it's one more. I got them all wrote down, but you can put it. These 5 tribes were called the civilized tribe, the Muscogee. These are the ones that they first put in slaves, but they wouldn't work, Brother Drew. So, and then the ones that did work, they were dying in the cane field and tobacco fields. So the crop during that time was tobacco and cotton, which was rootless growing in that day and period of time because it was crude. Working out there in the cotton field, in the cane fields, and your life expectancy, if someone looked like me and you, was 5 to 7 years. If he was an indigenous person, it was 1 to 2 years. If they was bondsmen and bondswomen, it was 2 to 3 years, and they would die. So bringing the African slaves over here, they found out it was to their best of ability. Then they came up with laws that if they was born down, you all are familiar with the laws they came up with. Even if you was a slave, you classified a slave if you was born to bondsmen, bondswomen, other slaves. They got all kinds of laws. You can go back and check their history out of what they did. Now, from 1619, Brother Drew, we got the history of these colored people in slavery up to 1870. And here we go again, Brother Drew. That's 251 years. 2, 5, and 1 is 8. That's 1 degree above perfect. We on y'all's numbers, bro. See, I can tell you, if you know y'all and y'all's numbers, I ain't talking over nobody's head. But if you don't, I'm talking over your head. But look here, Brother Drew. They was enslaved, Brother Drew, for 251 years, where it said they would be enslaved for 400 years. Now, let's go into the Masonic Lodge. The 3 auras, which is the 3 ruffians, which these people are up under that system. Let's look at their system. It takes 400 years for the 3 ruffians to work on you. That means they had to keep you 400 years in slavery up under their schools of thoughts, keeping you how they kept you for 251 years, but you was released from slavery earlier before the system would really work for you. And you can see that right now the system works, Brother Drew, because from 1555 to 2018, that's 463 years. That means that your ass is 63 years, and 6 and 3 is 9, and the nine don't change. King meaning immediate death, new beginning. But you 463 years into them putting you up under the three arrows, the three ruffins, by educating you in through their school system of you being American in American ways, this Gentile. Yeah, I find it, these numbers is just awesome, Brother Drew. Now, in 1870, which is the next important day, which is 251 years, you can see that the oppressors fought a war, the Rite Masons and the Scottish Rite Masons, and the Scottish Rite Masons won, and they punished the York Rite Masons, which was the Southern Masons, the Dixiecratic. At that time, they became the Democratic Party. You can see where they punished them by taking their slaves away from them, making their slaves emancipated slaves in 1870, and making a nation out of these slaves that was separated but equal to their counterparts, which was the Southern York Rite Masons, not the Northern Scottish Rite, but the Southern York Rite. You were separated but equal. This is what the Constitution says with the 13th and 14th Amendment of the Emancipated Slave. Now, this started, the war ended in 1863, another important number. The only emancipated slaves that any country ever had was in Russia. But in 1863, the emancipated slave rose up against the Tsar, kicked his ass, and got their freedom. Well, in 1863, the war ended, and 7 years later, 1870, 7 years later, there you go with that number seven, perfect. And they came through with what they was going to give the niggers, the emancipated slaves. And that's strange. They said that they was going to teach you the three R's when actually they putting you up under the three R's: agriculture, home economics, music, PE, and sports. This is what they were going to give you in your school system. They were going to give you your own political party called the Freeman Party, which was Radical Republicans. They was known as Radical Republicans at that time when they came into existence. They would give you a Freeman Bank. You had your own bank as a nation. You had your own bank called the Freeman Bank. And they took out an insurance policy with Edna for $1 million that the bank would never go bankrupt. This is what the Zionist Jews did for these free, emancipated slaves. In 1880, you ain't have this shit no more because the Democratic Party had put you back into slavery. It took all of your stuff away from you, and you was back into slavery through a chain gang. So they say the only way that you could become a slave again is that you broke the law. And you broke the law, and they send you to jail or prison, and you became a prison, you would have no more citizenship. You would be back in slavery again. Well, they come up with the idea of the chain gangs. You got to know the history of the chain gangs in the South, because they was here all the way to up to 1960, Brother Drew. So I remember as a little boy in Crockett, Texas, it ain't 14 miles from Ellis Penitentiary, 30 miles from the one in Palestine at the Tennessee Colony. Then they got one down in Love Lady, and then they got one which is about 12 miles from Crockett. Then they got one in Huntsville, which is about 28 miles from Crockett. So they had chain gangs coming through in the 50s working on the road that they was putting 287. They making paving the road. It used to was a dirt road, but it was paving it. This was in the 50s, and they had the chain gang. So this is where it show you they still had to hoodwink and caber toe and still made slaves out of you. You went right back into it. But during that time period, you was highly, highly educated. From 1870 to 1950, 1950 is another important date on the making of the African American, Brother Drew. Because this is when you're finna see how this African American was made.
Uh-huh.
You see, 80 years from 1870 to 1950, 80 years. The number 8, 1 degree above perfect. White boy said, so he's up under these Masonic codes on how long to keep you up under this 3R system, the 3 roughing. 1850, he seen where he could make a project out of you. And he went to Chicago, which is mob town, and got the projects because so many blacks was moving out of the South into the North. Big migration of black people after World War II. They went and marched into Washington, to the northern country, Chicago and New York. It was a place where these Southerners was coming. You can trace the history. They made a project. They started a project. And you can see in Chicago. And from 1950 to 1960, that's 10 years, Brother Drew. Number 10, that's on y'all's number. Number 10, 10 years is classified as a decade. So you can see in one decade after this has happened in 1950. In 1950, you trace the history of 1950, you got a lot of shit going on. You got Rosa Parks, you got the demonstration, you got the niggas ain't acting as colored people, and all of these organizations, and the niggas becoming bootleg, and then you got the educated niggas was moving here, and a lot of them was getting doctor's degrees. And it's very funny when you go into that education part, when you see too many blacks getting doctor's degrees, white boy come up with them. He had cum laude, and then he come up with summa cum laude, magna cum laude. That's the only two. And then so many niggas were getting degrees with summa cum laude. He came up with magna cum laude. Very few niggas could reach the grade point level of magna cum laude. When the niggas reached that, then the capacity of magna cum laude, he had integrated your ass. But you see, during the 50s, and that's strange because 70 years off the plantation, you was only 40% illiterate. By the 1960, you was only 5% illiterate. You can see in 1960, project that they had worked on was the first African American. Because during this period in time, here come Margaret Sanger and all of the Genesis and everything right in there in 1950 to 1960. You got some treacherous history in there of this making of the African American. But we was called colored people that was Negroes. Now, when you was a colored person, that means that you had this African blood in you plus European blood or Negro blood in you. In other words, you was a half breed or a third breed. In those terms, used to be flipped around like 560 in the 50s and 40s and 30s and all the way back to when it started in 1555, of them calling you certain names, renaming you as you mix your seed with different races of people. So in 1960, we see a project. A project is something that, an experiment. We can see that they had experimented on a nigga in Chicago that got on national TV and said that I am no longer a colored person, that's a Negro. I'm an African-American that's black and proud. Jesus Christ first, Democratic Party second. Meaning that the Democratic Party had raised them a nigga project from the projects and made him the chair spokesman for all the niggas in America. The name of Jesse Jackson. That's the first African American. He lives right now in 2018, and he's still considered the chair spokesman and the representative for us. We ain't voted his ass in. He was appointed like Trump was appointed. He was appointed, him and Al Sharpton, by the Democrat Party. These become your national leaders up under Democratic rule and regulation in the name of Jesus the Christ. You see. Now, in 1970, 10 years later, now this didn't catch on, Brother Drew, him calling himself the African American, just like that same year, Sammy Davis Jr. got on national TV and said that he was a black Jew. And everybody in the United States thought he was the biggest goddamn fool. Just like Jesse Jackson, my daddy called him that, that ever lived. Now, Jesse Jackson was a fool. But when Sammy Davis Jr. said that he was a black Jew, he told Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, he said, hell, I'm a black Jew, just like you. And everybody was just rolling. They said, you say you what? A black Jew? Have you ever seen a black Jew? But knowing all the time, Brother Drew, they had hid the knowledge of a Sephardic Jew from us. Sammy Davis told us about there was two kinds of Jews, one Ashkenazim, one Sephardic, when he said, I'm a black Jew. And so people laughed off and then laughed it off as a joke, and they made a joke for years off of Sammy Davis being a black Jew. They made this joke. But little did we know is, in that time period, because I was living in that time period, I was a young man, hell, I said, thought he was crazy in some bitch too. They're like, I thought Jesse Jackson was crazy. Jesse Jackson, in 2018, you can see that he's the biggest goddamn fool in the world versus what Sammy Davis said, because there's actually Sephardic Jews and Sicilian. But this African America, let's look at this. In 1960, when Jesse Jackson said that he was no longer a Negro, that was a colored person, well, what did he do? He renamed you, and he became a what? A S-E-C-T. A sect. Now, the definition of sect is a group of people that break away from the original group, another group which include their culture, their religion, and their school of thoughts. So now, this didn't catch on. African American didn't catch on until after integration, when they put it on the census. They put African American on that to see how many they had. Food they put on there, what you call yourself, African American, Negro, or colored people. So they were running a Ligma test to see how many goddamn fools that they had. Do you understand what I'm talking about, Brother Drew? You seeing this? Like, see, and when they, yeah, see, when they put that up in 1970. Now, from 1970 to 2018 is 58 years. In 30 years, year 2000, the African American had became 96.97% illiterate by going to a integrated school system, when in 1970 you was only 5% illiterate going to a segregated school system. When you integrated with them, you gave up what? You was not a nation anymore, according to America. You was part of the states. They own you. You was not represented by the federal government anymore as a nation of people. You became property of the state that you lived in. You became a citizen in that state, but America still carry your ass as an emancipated slave, but not the state, because the state has their own constitution. It took them from 1870 to 1970, 100 years, Brother Drew, 100 years to integrate you. Now, let's put 100 years onto the 251, and that means that they had kept you 351 years. They 49 years short, completely genocizing you. You in your 463, when you got to 449, they knew that the X, Y, and millennium generation, the people born after 1970, they had their mind that they would call themselves an American and would be in American ways, and they would be up on the American rules and American thoughts. In our case, it was up under the Democratic Party. And that word Democrat is, we ask ourselves a question. It's a compound word. Kratic means to rule. It's a Greek compound word, to rule. Demon up under demon rule. So demonic rule, you got to go back into the history of what is demonic rule. Then you have to ask yourself, who was the first people that call themselves Democrats? Who was the first people to call themselves Republicans? To the history of the ancient Gauls, which became the Visigoths and the Ostrogoths. This is where the Democratic Party and the Republican Party started, with these two nations of people. Two brothers, Brother Drew, Search and Gentry, the Generic brothers, who was in control at that time. Well, his brother, who was a Republican, killed him because of Democratic, when he said he was going to take his people to the Democratic rule and try to push it. Well, their laws was to kill whoever did this, and it just so happened that they were brother. He had to kill his own brother. They made a movie out of it called The Druids. You can go get the movie on Netflix. And tell you the whole damn story of Search and Gentry. Then you go into the story of Search and Gentry all the way into Caesar when he came into Great Britain and doing the Gauls and the Visigoths. But this is where this form of government started, because it wasn't the democratic form of government. It called for a king. And if a king ruled you, he made a slave out of you. That's what they think it was at that time. Anytime they all ruling up on a king, and they wasn't having it, so he killed his brother for this, and then after that, his son come back and kill him. Search and Venger come back and killed his uncle that was on the throne and got it back, but he was a Republican also. He just killed on vengeance, but you had to understand how they worked at that time period. Now, they knew that when they integrated, that they didn't have to worry no more about genocizing you, because they had gave you a culture called hip-hop and they had given you drugs. Now you was doing herb seed bearing plant, but they start altering the drugs that they knew that you was using. Like they know that the anybody that's in the from 10 years old to 50 years old, the majority of people that smoke herbs is on a herb called Kush, Brother Drew, and Kush is modified. How I know, shit, I've been smoking herbs since I was 5 years old. I'm 73. And see, they started modifying this shit back in the 60s when we was in Nam and we couldn't get Panama Red. When we was getting Panama Red when we was in Vietnam, and Panama Red was potent. It came out of Panama, but China bought Panama. A lot of people didn't know the Chinese owned Panama and put Bushido monks down there as farmers down there. So when they get ready to invade the United States, they're just right next door, because all them farmers down there, they've been down there since the 60s. And you couldn't get no more Panama Red. Then you went through different chains, the Colombian. You went through the Colombian. You couldn't get no more weed from Colombia. Then you went to Acapulco Gold, Mexico. And then you went to, they modified Acapulco Gold because they wasn't getting nobody high. And here come crack. And most of the people in the black community thought crack worked like marijuana. And you got the surprise of your goddamn life. Crack didn't work like marijuana because you hit crack one time, yeah, you was addicted. You see, and they when they laid that shit into the community, Brother Drew, then you can see a degenerated people going down. They went from soul sisters and soul brothers to bitches, hoes, uh-huh, dogs, and fools. You can see the degeneration of other people when they went into welfare, when they put that, you see the degeneration of the African American. This is African American. This is his culture, the hip hop culture. And it carries with it a form of religion. And the form of religion went into the church house. So the church house right now is a hip hop church house, which is a sect. A sect, when it goes into a sect, they break away from what the original belief. And they break away up on the name modern day. This is the modern day way of doing church. This is the modern day way of raising children. This is the modern day way of doing thinking. This is the modern day way. See, the modern day way, you can see where the hip-hop culture, which brought in homosexuality to the max. You can go back into the 1960 up here and see the homosexuals coming into the church under James Cleveland and the boys. And then they changed the music. They took the piano off of Miller C, the Fender Rhodes, and tuned it on 440. Well, everything in nature, Brother Drew, is tuned on Mill C. If you in your right mind, when they tune you on 440, that speeded you up. Look how fast your children talk. Look how fast everybody's moving now, driving. Look at the goddamn maniacs you got on the road. Especially if they get in one of these police cars, the crowns. Shit. You see where they done genocide you? You see this is a genocide. So you can see where the projects started off in 1950 at the project. 5 years later, they called it the Jets. 5 years later, 1965, they was calling it the Hood. And then 5 years later, they was calling it the Ghetto. 5 years later, and right now in 2018, it's the Slums. So you can see where the project where it declined, not inclined, 2018. This is up on the African American. This is the 58 years of you being an African American. See, I never did cease being a Negro that was a colored man. See, I never did get the back. But I'm looking at your goddamn history as a Negro, as an African American that's black. You see, black ain't a color. Black is adjective. They got you with an adjective on everything. You became Black Firefighters Union, Black Police Union. Why you need a black one when they got a white one? Why did you have to establish a black, the Hispanic union and the police and the fire department and all this? But it's why. Why did you have to establish that? Because you wasn't recognized in the white one. When you became a black Mason, you became clandestine, according to the white part. When you asked the white boy, could I have fraternities and sororities? He said, yeah, nigga, but you can't be named after us and you can't be in ours. We give y'all another name. And you became Alpha and Sigma and Phi Beta Sissies and Alpha and all these grand names that your booty ass think makes you an important person. Because up on a title, up on a white man's title, as you being an African American. And see, this is where you can see the Bible tell you about this goddamn fool called African American. It describes these people. If I go in the book of Isaiah, it describes that they would have tattoos, whole bracelets, nose earrings, sweet smelling. They ain't sweet smelling no more. They used to be sweet smelling. I talked to R.A. Hill about that. I said, R.A., me and you done sit on this dough for almost 2 hours. I say, what is different from sitting on the dough back in the day when we and you was young men in our 20s and 30s than sitting on the day is me and you in our 70s in the day? He said, I don't know, Meatball. I say, have you noticed that every woman that come through here ain't smelling of taboo? He say, Meatball, damn, you got something. I say, you don't find no woman with sweet-smelling perfume wearing it no more like you did back in the days, because, nigga, you know that if you smelt a woman with taboo, your ass was in heat. And we laughed because there was none but the goddamn truth that I said. So you don't have sweet-smelling women no more. That when we came through, all of my mamas and aunties and grandmothers and cousins and the outside women, all of them were sweet-smelling. You ain't got that no more. You ain't got that no more. Notice that. See, observation, that's what we talked about last couple of weeks ago with Shonda. Observing your ass. Observation brought this about. But the book of ideas say your heads would be bald, your hair would be braided, you would have nose earrings. And that day it said that some women would lay hold of one man because the women would outnumber the men. Well, hell, that shit's going on right now. Why you look like something that looked 10,000 years ago? Because history repeats itself. You the same old nigga you was then, you the same old nigga now. Because of one thing, you can't renew your mind. So we can see that this sect that became a culture started by Jesse Jackson. You see the state of mind and the state of union that they are in right now, as everybody on earth think you the lowest thing on earth. Every country looked down on you. When me and you came through, everybody wanted to be a soul brother and a soul sister. Everybody wanted to sing and dance like the soul brother and soul sister. And the white boy learned it. And the white boy couldn't play no goddamn blues. But he goddamn sure can play it now. The white boy couldn't play no jazz, but his ass can play it now. Better than the niggas can play it. I know I'm still out there in the music world. I remember when it went from blues to rhythm and blues. That's when Stevie Ray Vaughan got rhythm in 1970. They came up with another category called rhythm and blues. But B.B. King, all the top blues boys, Lil Milton, B.B. King, Albert Collins, all of them boys, this other boy that's in can't think of his name right now. Shit, hell, I live right next door to him. They all cut albums with Stevie Ray Vaughan, this white boy that's right here in Dallas, Texas. And that's when white folks start playing the blues. I played with a band on Monday nights, white and Mexicans. Ain't but three blacks in now. And brother, they sound like the bands back then. They play the blues better than any black people could ever play it. Because most of the blacks off in there rapping and hip-hopping with their ass down. The only nation of people with their ass down, with the pants. You started it, but all the races of people now are sagging. You started that culture, African-American. So the history of the African-American versus the history of a Negro that's colored people is tremendously sad, to the point where I call it a sad, sad story. But when we trace your ass from the beginning, Brother Drew, this is what I'm going to make a documentary of on
okay.
this. Then I just practice on how I was going to do it. I get better as it come by. But this, I hope you can understand. I know you can see it. I know you can see it. Shema Yahawada Ya Abinka Iya Kamariya. Till next week, Brother Drew.
Kamariya.